are tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Dragon Rider! Oh my gosh, yes! Hello, everybody! Welcome to your Game of Thrones After Buzz TV After Show. Woo. My name is Kyle Maddock. To my left, I have the lovely Autumn Chiklis.
Hello, everybody. It's so good to be back.
Here we go. I have Sarah Stretton right
hello,
over there.
Hello.
And Ryan Malady.
Hello, everybody.
There you go.
Oh my god, what an episode.
Oh man. And you're going to be chatting with everybody on the... Tell them where you're chatting.
Yeah, that's tonight. Right. Check us out at youtube.com/AfterBuzzTV. Join in the conversation on the live chat. There's all kinds of awesome fans here, and the conversations are always so rich.
Oh, man.
Come check it out.
I'm pumped. We've got a lot to talk about tonight. But before we get to it, I just want to let you guys know that we love your comments. We love hearing from you. And we want to hear more. We're doing, for this last week and this week, we're doing a podcastone.com survey. You can go to the website and you can leave a comment and know that you're making this show better. We love all the comments. We love hearing from them. We want to make this show the best possible show it can be. Mm-hmm. So go there at podcastone.com. Leave a comment. Let us know what you like and what you don't like. That's, again, podcastone, spelled O-N-E.com. All right, thank you, and let's get to it, everybody.
Oh,
here we are, the Dance of Dragons. Oh, man, let's start off with that awesome scene we all loved, Stannis.
Oh, God, that made me sick to my stomach. That literally made me physically ill by the end of that sequence, and they let it play all the way out, and by the end of it, I was so emotionally drained, I wasn't ready for the rest of that episode.
Oh, man, that was rough. That was rough. But before we get there, let's set it all up.
Yeah.
It starts off with Melisandre running out of the tent, and there are fires showing up in Stannis' camp.
Yes.
Like, sporadically timed. You don't really see anyone running around, though. Fires.
Yeah, I don't know how they set up these little time bombs, but
yeah,
they did.
That was cool.
And this is Ramsay and his 20 men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right? That's what it is. No argument there?
I'd say no. I mean, the reason they had the whole last week on Game of Thrones, and they specifically ended with Ramsay talking about all I need is 20 men,
mm-hmm.
and then to drop the fact that there were about 20 men, maybe less, who were suspected to start this fire, and the fact that we saw Melisandre in the first scene, because she'd be the only person, really,
who would set fires, yeah.
We see her come out in her initial reaction, which is complete shock and horror.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of leads us to believe that she didn't do it either, unless she is aware of our presence and is acting for us. So, yeah, it's definitely Ramsay.
It's really breaking the fourth wall.
I think so.
Acting to the audience.
Just like, I don't know what I'm doing.
So then we have Davos the next morning sort of giving us an account of what sort of damage this fire done. And they've lost most of their food. They've lost horses. They've lost so much. And if they're going to starve if they continue to Winterfell, and they don't have enough food to make it back to Castle Black, so they're sort of stuck in this predicament here, where we get Stannis.
And this is supposed to be totally Stannis's end, like, momentum as why he finally decides to sacrifice his daughter, is these accounts that he gets from Davos. This attack, this is the catalyst that I think pushes him over the edge, and so that we're supposed to understand that he thinks he has no choice.
Yeah, they give him no way out. Mm-hmm. It's either let all your men die, or kill your daughter, or sacrifice your daughter. It's
sounding like you guys are starting to defend it. Hold up.
No, I mean, but he. What choice? What was he supposed to do?
Here's the thing. Here's the thing about child killing.
yes, this is a horrible thing. I'm not saying it's not.
Now, obviously, from an audience perspective, we understand the position of feeling like that there is nothing else to do. That being said. Yes, you have
something to say? I don't think we feel that there's nothing else to do. I think we're supposed to understand that Stannis thinks there's nothing else to do.
Right.
Because as an audience member, I'm still like, nope, that's a bad idea. Like, it sets up why they have to make Davos leave, or else the audience would erupt and be like, Davos would never let this happen.
Mm. Yeah, like, of course.
I'm saying that all these circumstances, losing the horses, losing the food, it's supposed to show us that Stannis thinks he's backed into a corner.
Oh, of course. Absolutely. And he is backed into a corner. Absolutely. But, I mean, if it were me, I would think of every possible alternative.
You don't think he thought of every possible alternative?
Of course he did. Listen, I'm trying very, very hard right now to not be defending the fact that he just burned his own daughter at the stake in front of all of his men.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to defend that either, but I'm playing devil's advocate here.
Yes, okay. Here's the truth of the matter. No, I don't know what I would do in that situation, and it's clearly a very difficult one. That being said, I'm very upset at what I just saw and viscerally kind of want to choke Stannis out. More importantly, want to choke Melisandre.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think we can all say that that was a very emotional scene that was very hard to watch. Were any of you surprised that Game of Thrones went to that level? Because we've known that children have been burned before on this show, if we're talking about, like, the farm boys who are, like, trying to...
I mean, but Cersei was murdering babies in the first season.
This was more, like, step-by-step, build up that tension, basically see the fire start. Like, that is another level for this show.
We watched it the whole way through, and that's what made it so effective.
It was the hearing of the screams, I think, that really... Yeah. You see, they didn't really show too much of her being burned.
No.
But I do have to say that that's why we watch Game of Thrones, you know, because it pushes the envelope of what we're comfortable seeing and knowing and feeling. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, as much as it was hard to watch and listen to, and I didn't want that to happen. No one does. But it was entertaining, that's for sure.
Oh,
because it made
effective.
You feel something incredible.
Totally.
It's something you
effective.
Don't expect to happen mm-hmm. on a TV show.
I agreed. It's time. I'm totally cutting you off. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, unfortunately, by the end, you know, in the beginning of this episode, it started to be set up pretty. I think even two episodes ago, it was pretty clear that this mm-hmm. was going to happen. It was just the way in which it was going to happen and the way in which dramatically they decided to do it. I agree with you, Ryan. I think it was very effective. I mean, my stomach is in knots. Mm-hmm. And so that's great. That's great television and it's great art, if you will, in a way, because it affects you. Mm-hmm. I'm just sad. That's all.
It's interesting to me that they also, in my opinion, they set up Shireen's character is not really having a place in this world anymore. As we got conversations with her, when she was first introduced, she was the reason... She was helpful to a lot of Davos's plot and teaching him how to read, which let him read the letter that got back on Stannis' good side. Like,
right.
There was this... She had a function. And when they set her up in this, it was like, you got the... Which Targaryen would you choose? And she goes, I wouldn't choose any. And you wonder, if she had lived through this, what would Shireen's role be in the rest of this series? They they weren't really giving her more. They were keeping her around as this chess piece of Melisandre.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like Shireen represents mm-hmm. that line mm-hmm. that if crossed, so there's almost no turning back. It's like the line that Theon crossed.
Yeah.
You know, when he mm-hmm. his
Well, they made
broken.
A character who's a symbol, and they really stuck to those symbols, and I think it does mean something and show what's going to happen to Stannis, what Melisandre will go to. But, on the other hand, as a character of what her life was going to be like, they kind of stopped building that for us.
Well, I think what they built is her sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
I think they started just building her mm-hmm. sacrifice around, and ultimately what I'm more concerned of now, because she's dead... what I'm very concerned about is how this is going to affect Stannis moving forward, which obviously it will in a huge way.
You could see that in the eyes of his men. They were watching this. They weren't really mm-hmm. going for it. I mean, who would? And to have your followers questioning your leadership decisions, I mean, that's going to come around and bite him.
I don't know. I felt like it showed how much Stannis truly believes in the Lord of Light. And the religion of Melisandre, and in a way, the men too, because there wasn't a man there who spoke up or said anything. And yes, they're soldiers, and they're trained not to do that. But there's a child burning in front of them, and none of them moved a hand. In fact, they stopped Selyse from helping.
I mean,
Is that from people who don't believe in this? Like, they believe something's going to come out of it. They believe the Lord that they're sacrificing this to is going to give them a benefit from the sacrifice.
Regardless, there's whether or not they believe it, which I'm sure they do, doubt is enough. And I think that that is enough to create a significant amount of doubt. And I think that you could see it in the faces of all of them, that whether or not they agree with or necessarily, I mean, they sat there and watched it and were horrified by it. So whether or not they stopped it at the moment, I mean, what really can you do? They would have been killed if they tried to stop it. Mm-hmm. It's enough to plant the seed of how could this be the way? I mean, look, that's kind of what I was trying to get at earlier. Yeah.
Unless they get a benefit from it, and then they are even bigger believers.
But if they do that, it's also a whole step on this for the God of Light and what that God represents and will do. Because this example of taking your child to an altar for sacrifice is used, for instance, in Christianity in the Bible.
Yep.
There's a story of him taking his son to be slaughtered like they do the lambs, and he goes up and he's ready to completely go through with the act, and at the last moment, revelation...
Because of belief and the strength of faith. Mm-hmm. That's that story in the Bible. But
it gets to the point where he's about to do it, has not let up, and he is going to go through with the act. I'm very much paraphrasing, by the way. And more or less, he's going to go through it, and their God stops them. Versus in this, they take the child to the altar, they're completely ready to do it, and the Lord of Light lets the child burn.
Yeah.
To play Davos' advocate. I'm curious as to how he's going to react, because I feel like he knew that this was in the cards. He wanted to take her with him and didn't want this to happen, and now he's going to find out eventually. I wonder if he's still going to be loyal to Stannis when he does.
I don't know if he will. I mean, they had that scene...
Well, you're talking like this is the first time that Stannis and Melisandre burned people.
Oh, come on. It's very different.
How many people have they seen burn?
It's very different, though. Seeing people is one thing, but when you... To sacrifice your own child, that's a different... level, I think, and especially since he had a very strong.
To see a leader like your men are dying, and the leader sacrifices the person he probably loves the most in the world to try and help his people.
Alternatively,
they're going to follow him. They're going to follow.
They're going to take this story to King's Landing, and it's going to be spun where this crazy king Stannis has burned his own child. Do you really want to follow him? It's going to be another mad king,
and he's going to have an entire army that follows him through thick or thin from there on out.
Here's the thing, is I'm sure that it will absolutely strengthen the faith of some of them. And depending on the outcome
And the fear. Because I feel like I would follow out of fear at that point. Like, wow, here's a man who's willing to burn his own daughter alive because the Lord of Light commands it. Why should my life be... any more or less important to his cause?
You don't have king's blood.
We're talking about Davos, and we're talking about someone who we just had that scene between him and Shireen giving her the stag.
Yeah, more gifts.
Yes, which they obviously have a beautiful connection. He had tremendous affection for the girl, and regardless of whether or not he saw it coming. To an extent, I don't think he really believed that he would follow through, that Stannis would follow through with it. I don't know how he is going to continue, because you know that he is not necessarily thrilled about his decisions already. So we're talking about, regardless of whether or not his men follow him, do you think Davos will continue to in the same way now that he has breached such an emotional lines now that he has crossed this threshold?
That's the question.
Yeah, Davos.
I really don't know.
Yeah. I could see Davos parting ways with Stannis after this.
Easily. I hope he does.
Easily.
Mm-hmm. And I want to see Melisandre's role. Honestly, us here in the chat, we're not entirely convinced it was Ramsay's 20 men.
Okay.
Not entirely.
Okay.
Really?
There's still just a little bit of doubt hanging there because it was the breaking point that got Stannis to sacrifice his daughter. Was basically to hit that rock bottom. We can't move forward without another solution. So, and you know,
that's
that was
true.
Melisandre's motivation for quite a while has been to...
Yeah. Well, she's a good actress. I mean, she was... At the beginning, she looked pretty surprised by the fire, so I don't know if I buy that, but maybe. Very interesting.
There's just a little doubt. Very interesting.
Yeah, I want to bring up one more thing, which was in... I'm not getting into predictions, I promise, but in the next week on, we hear Melisandre say something to the effect of, you know, the Lord of Light has listened. Mm-hmm. Do you guys remember that at one point? Like, she basically says, like, she answered your prayers or what have you. I'm very curious to see whether or not that's true. To what extent their prayers or their sacrifice has been worth it. And if it has, then there is, you're right, there is going to be a big conversion where people think that, okay, maybe this, there's absolutely no doubt. And if that's the case, that's so twisted.
It harkens back to so many civilizations where they would sacrifice to a god, and then if something good happened, they would say it was because of that sacrifice they made. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could ramble off a million things through history.
And
if something bad happened, they didn't sacrifice enough people.
There you go. Exactly.
Or they sacrificed the wrong person.
Wasn't a virgin.
Exactly.
Well, it's a witch. Well, then it's a witch hunt.
Yes. Yeah. There we go. I thought that was interesting in the scene how... Selyse was the one that ended up saying, no, we can't do this, and not Stannis, which was pretty much the opposite, I think, of everything I read from comments of viewers. Mm-hmm. That was pretty neat.
I thought that was also a really interesting choice. I also want to, like, go back and, like, freeze frame on Melisandre's face, because I swore for a split second there was, like, she felt bad.
Freeze frame. If you don't...
You
can't freeze fire.
Freeze fire. Well, the others kind of walk through it a little bit there. Well, who knows? But yeah, do we have anything more depressing to talk about in this scene?
There's nothing more depressing than what we just witnessed pretty much.
Let's talk about something happy for a second. Do you guys like to dance?
Yeah, I like to dance.
I love to dance.
Dance with dragons?
Well, I don't know. That'd be kind of frightening. Are you guys any good at dancing?
In what way?
If you're asking me if I like to compete against others in my dancing abilities for maybe the possibility to be on television,
then that's exactly
what I'm into.
Thank you for that alley-oop there, good sir.
You have any more information for us on that?
Yes. I want to tell you viewers about something cool and exciting. You can now apply for Dance Battle America, ABC's newest competition special. From our very own founder, host Maria Menounos and Julianne Hough, comes ABC's special Dance Battle America.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. There we go. During the holiday seasons, over the last 2 years, Julianne and Maria have engaged in a fearsome dance battle via social media. Once the challenge took off, celebrities Kate Hudson, Amber Riley joined in, and a dance battle craze began. Now the ladies are challenging everyone. Not us. I'm a terrible dancer. Thank you very much. But everyone in America to battle it out for the chance to fly to Los Angeles and compete on a dance show.
So that sounds fun.
There we go.
That's cool.
Nice. So here's your opportunity of a lifetime, guys. If you want the chance to dance on network television, go to www.dancebattleamericacasting.com for more information and how to submit your video. And don't forget, post it on social media. Hashtag Dance Battle ABC.
Oh, it's really cool.
Bonus points if it's Game of Thrones themed.
I know, throw in some Dancing with Dragons
in
there.
Some water dancing.
Yes, water dancing. There's so many aspects. I thought we couldn't link it to Game of Thrones, but there we go. We got it.
We're in.
Nice. Awesome. So definitely check that out, guys, especially if you are a damn good dancer, because I'm always jealous of those who can.
Yeah, seriously. So envious.
So let's move on. Let's go up to, let's go to the wall.
Okay.
John arriving at the wall.
I have a question. Oh.
Yes, questions.
Please.
Did
he just walk through the ocean river type thing? How did he get there?
The show has this messed up. I don't agree with this at all. I think this is an oversight on the creators of this show here. I'm assuming the boats came and went from Eastwatch by the Sea, which is right on the water of the wall. And if you can land there, you might as well just walk on the south side of the wall and not the north side. And it doesn't make sense that they would go on the north side halfway down the wall, this huge, huge, huge wall that would take them miles and miles and miles to walk through.
Well, there's this thing called dramatic tension.
Yes.
And
there's also this thing called logic. And I don't think I think the show lost it a little bit on this one. I don't think that makes sense.
I agree.
To me.
I also think the time kind of bothered me. I understand that when we just boarded boats and all of a sudden we're walking and we're on the other side of the wall, it doesn't really make sense. I thought we were going to have a little bit more time, voyage, anything.
Yeah.
That we were already jumping to this point felt kind of anticlimactic.
I just want to know how he made it to the other side of the river without being able to get on a boat.
Oh, one
what? Wait, one. The river? Yeah, the giant?
Oh, sorry, the ocean.
Oh, the ocean. Oh, okay. Like, what river are we talking about here?
Sorry, ocean. Okay. That one could just... He just walked through. Am I wrong?
They got him a boogie board and a rope, and he just dragged him behind him.
Yeah. Well, let me get this straight. So, like, here's the wall right here.
Okay.
Right in front of my eyes. Yep. Right? And on one side... I guess it doesn't really help. But all the wildlings are, like, kind of right on the other side of the wall, right at the edge, right?
They're north. They're pretty far north of the wall, on one side. The east side, yes.
Okay, so north and on the east side. So all they would really have to do, right, is to get in some boats and...
Keep going.
Like, just go around the wall.
Yes.
Just south of it.
Just south of it.
It wouldn't take that long, right? Just to... Get in a boat and go around the wall.
There is a Night's Watch castle right on the ocean there that they land at, or dock at, which is, I'm assuming, is where they took off from in the first place. And then they just go on the south side.
Yeah.
Because all the castles are on the south side of the wall.
Then they have to trek all the way
They still have to walk all the way to Castle Black regardless. There's no body of water that reaches to Castle Black. But you walk on the south side where there's no others.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you don't really have to go through Castle Black.
Okay, I understand what you're saying now.
Yeah, and then you don't have to go Castle Black. You don't have to have the dramatic moment where we all were like, is Alistair Thorne going to let him through? Did you guys think he was? Did you think for a moment he was going to turn him away?
I just thought it was funny how they have that, like, moment, that eye-to-eye moment, and they're clearly, like 1,000 feet away from each other. Like,
yeah.
He has some pretty good eyes. I wouldn't have been able to see Jon Snow, but he saw him, and that's what... You gotta obey the Lord Commander. At least let him inside.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. This is Alistair Thorne we're talking about. I thought a second he could just take command of the wall again. And
for a second, I'm glad they didn't like draw that out.
And you saw the fear in John's eyes, because really, what the heck were they gonna do if Alistair just kept the door closed?
Well, they were just gonna walk back and then go around.
Oh, that's right. They could have went around the wall. Yeah. All right. I forgot about that.
I'm like, well, now I'm gonna have to go kill him once I go on through the other side. The back entrance.
Oh, and Davos is gonna get to Castle Black and be greeted by 5,000 wildlings, or however many are there.
Well, yeah, is Jon going to send the wildlings to help Stannis? Would the wildlings even
might as
do
well.
That?
That's what they're there for, right? They're
That's
there
what they
to
agreed
help.
To. This is the test of loyalty.
They agreed to fight for Stannis? No, they agreed to get land in Dragonglass.
You're right.
Yeah.
And to when the walkers
When the time comes.
Yeah.
And the walkers came.
There you go. Well, yeah, they do want to kill the walkers.
Yeah, I mean, they have the fear of the Lord of Light or whoever, the old gods and the new, etc., in them right now, because they just witnessed what a ravaging army of White Walkers is capable of.
They witnessed the real threat going on right now. This puny little battle for the Iron Throne, a little chair, whatever. There is this force of evil. Well, some people debate whether or not they're truly evil. But there is this force that wants to zombify them moving
south.
Yeah, I think,
honestly, I think that they're going to be... At least if I were a wildling, I'm putting myself in all these positions a lot today. But it's the only way I guess I can relate. If it were me, that would completely... make me want to get along, even with people who are my enemies, because at the end of the day, look, we hate each other, but we hate that a hell of a lot
exactly.
more. So
The enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Oh,
jinx. There we are.
You owe me a glass of wine.
All right. Let me sip this one.
It's okay. He's already prepared.
I got
so Jon feels like he failed the wildlings. He's looking down on himself that he lost so many of them, even though we could see that he saved quite a few of them, but he feels like he failed them.
Also, didn't he save most of the ones that wanted to come? Not all, but a lot of the ones who were on board from the get-go.
Yeah, those are the ones who got on the boats first.
They might
certainly.
Not have wanted to go in the first place, but after all that, I'll go.
But he lost a lot. He lost a lot, and he's feeling it. And that's I think it's a sign of a good leader.
Yeah, like and they also...
Yeah, you feel that. You want to save everyone.
And I don't want to jump back to last episode, but there was also that moment with the wildling mother putting her kids on the boat. Which, by the way, how'd the kids end up back? Were those her kids? I've been meaning to ask
The zombie ones?
Yes.
No.
They weren't. Okay, that's what I said.
They weren't the kids she put on the boat, but a lot of people think they were kids of hers that had died previously.
Yeah, that was confusion that I saw on the internet that kind of confused me. But anyway, I digress. The point is, the fact that she went back, I think that was kind of trying to show that not everyone who was intending to get on had the time.
Yeah.
That's so, yeah.
Interesting.
real quick from the live chat, Kristen Snyder, a.k.a. Cinematic Escape,
hey!
In the house.
Hey,
our Adornis warrior.
Yeah, we're missing you and your dagger here, Kristen. but Kristen does have a question for us.
What's up? Yes.
And it goes like this. Will John's good heart get them all killed as Sir Alistair is anticipating? Sorry.
Good question. We miss you, Kristen.
It's going to get a few of them killed. I think that's going to save a bunch, though, too.
Bingo, I agree.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
I think that we also learned when we were listening to Shireen, we were listening to Dance of Dragons, there was a lot of talk about war. Also, we even got some from Daenerys, a Marine, about how many people will die, and what cause they're going to die for.
Yeah.
So I think it's impossible to say that Jon Snow is going to save everyone and no more people are going to die. Like, people are going to die. John's going to feel bad about it. But in the end, I believe he is a good leader.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
So it won't get them all killed. His good heart won't get everybody killed. But some people are going to die.
Yeah.
It's Game of Thrones.
That's right.
What do you think?
Maybe he's a little too emotional. Maybe he has to be a little more cut off.
Well,
maybe a little Stannis.
I don't think that's fair. I think that a lot of times that we've seen him have multiple emotional... Why is he smirking?
No,
he was looking back at me because I was looking at him like this. Because didn't you just say 5 minutes ago that what makes a good you think it makes
I
what
did,
makes
but
a
I,
good
then I started doubting myself. Maybe you can't be that connected.
Stannis' men are going to start doubting him after he
John
did what he
has
did.
Given up some of his emotional connections for the Night's Watch. When you look, when his brother was in danger, he stayed with the Night's Watch. Like, yes, he tried to leave for about a minute, but he stayed. If you look at Ygritte, he still left her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he has made decisions for the betterment of his brothers, for what he believes in,
and
over
I think
his
exactly
family.
For what he
and
able to do that because of the way he was brought up. I mean, he was brought up by a very honorable man, but still with lacking those extreme connections that you can only have with a family that truly accepts you, which they really didn't truly accept him. So he knows the value of honor, but he also knows, you know, that you can't be too close in order to maintain honor.
There we go.
Yeah.
There we go. So let's move on. Let's head down to Dorne.
Okay.
Jaime visits Dorne Martell. Illyria is not locked up. I thought she was going to be in a cell somewhere, but she's sitting on a couch with some wine. What's
I agree. I thought so, too.
And is still so sassy.
Yes, so sassy.
She needs to shut her mouth.
Oh,
well,
man.
She did, but that was insane.
She does. A little bit later on. So we have this whole couch scene. We've got Marcella there and Trystane and Doran and Arya Hota's in the background there. And Jaime mentions the necklace. Like, why did you come down here?
Oh,
well,
yeah.
We received this necklace from Marcella. And there's a few glances around the room, but there was no real answer about who sent that again.
No real answer. And also, did I miss... Tell me if I missed this, but I didn't see any connection of, oh, shit, he's on to us, or, oh, he knows. I just saw a bunch of, was it you? Was it, like, what is this?
I saw accusation of Illyria from...
From Doran?
Yeah, that's fair.
That's what I saw, but also, which is surprising to me, because I thought that was, like, strike number one. In this conversation alone. And you would think that Illyria was already standing on, like, a slippery slope.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she should be in trouble. So when that came up, I was surprised that didn't call him into action to be like, Illyria, or anything. And then she just kept going. And then it was the wine, and she just did not stop. And I know at the very last moment, as she took the move to walk out of the room, then he finally threatened her.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But I thought that was so long coming.
It absolutely was. But we know that he is a very level-headed person.
Yeah.
And he has a history,
he's
obviously.
He's not the fastest to act.
He's
kind of bothered me.
No, I totally understand, because I have a lot of problems with her, because when it comes to playing the Game of Thrones, she is just all over the road. She does not know how to manipulate in the way she should.
Oh, she's not playing Game of Thrones. She's playing the Revenge
of Thrones.
She's
playing emotional.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, but by the way, it will get her killed. And, I mean, I don't think it actually will, because of the last scene, which I think was a total manipulation. I do not buy her for one second.
Ooh.
But the point being that... We know it didn't surprise me that it took him so long to snap, because he has proven himself to be so calm in the face of people being riled up, especially
just
her. He's used to her antics.
We're talking about Prince Doran.
Yes. Yeah.
Durant.
No.
Duran.
Duran.
I think they were saying Doron in the show.
I was talking, yeah.
But,
all right. Yeah. Well, good thing he believes in second chances and not third chances. Right?
Yes. For Alaria's sake, at least.
Right?
What about for his nieces, who didn't seem to have to swear anything, but had been imprisoned?
They were just sort of following orders. He was disciplining the captain and not the soldiers. Kind of thing going on there.
Most people.
I know. I'm trying to make sense of this whole Doran thing.
I feel like you're trying to justify it for me, and it's just, yeah, I don't know if it's completely working.
I don't think it's completely working for me, this whole Doran stuff. What's going on?
Well, I mean, look at, Jamie was sitting on the couch, but Bronn was still in the cell. I mean, that's just how it works. You talk with, you make civil peace with the leaders, and then the soldiers are the ones who pay the price.
But they're not just soldiers. They're his nieces that he references in his arguments about why he's still keeps her alive and likes her. He's like, you are the mother of my very, I think he says, like, beloved or something, nieces. Yet he has kept his nieces in a cell, but then we don't see them swear any type of fidelity.
Well, she's only the mom of one of them. There you go.
Where are the other ones?
The other moms?
No, the other nieces.
The other nieces? Well, she's only the mom. I don't know where the other Sand Snakes are, but she's only the mom of one of those three.
Which would lead me to believe that he would want them all to swear, because if she was the mother of all of them, I would understand, because they seem to follow her, her kissing the ring, quite literally, being a signal for all of your men stand down, well, actually all of your women stand down, but I guess it's still is the case. She is the ringleader.
I agree with you, though. System.
Doran is all muddled up right now. I don't know what's going on down there.
Who's with who, like, who's really in power in Doran seems just very muddled, but it's almost like everyone's aware of it, which is why it bothers me.
Okay.
It'd be one thing if we were watching a ruler who was, like, completely oblivious, and so Illyria was kind of stealing the power from him, like, swiping it from under him. But in this one, I feel like he's smart. I feel like it's aware. So I just don't understand why certain things are happening. I will say that Bronn's sentence, great.
That was awesome.
An eye for an eye. I like Tristane's decision to deliver that blow. That was
pretty nice.
It was all right. Nice. I was okay with that.
Right. What are they saying on the chat?
Well, the chat, honestly, they're pretty much saying what all of us pretty much want to say, is that we're not too impressed with Sand Snakes and the story going on in Doran. It's just kind of exactly what we expected it to be. But Kristen, bringing it back to Kristen, wherever you are out there, TV land, has a question for us. Do you guys think Illaria will actually listen?
I don't.
To Doran? Because, I mean, she did. Yeah, it's a good point. Because she had those comments to Jamie. You kind of feel like, all right, she's not done with her mischief yet.
I don't think so. I think that maybe temporarily she is willing to back down from her. Yeah, I think that there's no reason for her to have had that scene with Jamie talking about the fact that she knows about his incestuous relationship, unless there was something, and being so kind of friendly with him, unless there was something larger at hand. You could have easily ended the episode with her kissing the ring and submitting, if that was the message you wanted to get across. But the fact that they continued further, I think that there's more.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
I guess we'll have to see.
I'll put out there, prediction-wise, for that, jumping a little bit ahead, that the silver lining of all this muddledness in Doran is what the end result could be from Illyria. Because I think she's been put in a position where now if she has to act, she can't have anyone else do it for her.
No.
And she's doing this very aware that this is kind of going to be her last move, her last chance. So I think we could see, like, there's chance here for, like, an epic fight for her.
Hmm. Yeah.
Or, like, her being the one who goes after one of the Lannisters.
Interesting.
Because, it does kind of seem like she cares more about revenge than she does her life or the life of her daughters.
Exactly.
So Doran's big plan out of all this is that Marcella and Tristane are going to go to King's Landing.
Mm-hmm.
They're still going to keep the marriage pact. That's still going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that Tristane is going to be on the small council. to which Jaime agrees to all this.
Yeah, but will Cersei?
I'm so excited.
Cersei's in jail.
Well, Tom, that's fair.
I don't think she has a say. Honestly, what does the small council look like right now anyways? I mean, Lord Tyrell is over there.
It's Pycelle and Uncle Kevin.
And Uncle Kevin. I'm really excited for him to join the small council. I like that we're adding kind of... I mean, they haven't told us a lot about him, but I liked his first sentence. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking
his first sentence? Oh, his sentence.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I was thinking the first sentence that came out of his mouth. I know what you're saying.
So I think he could be a really fun ruler.
I totally agree. Okay.
He's like an Aladdin.
He's another candidate. No.
It just strikes me as an Aladdin.
He's another candidate that's capable. I'll slap him in a minute. Don't worry.
Please,
when the camera goes to that angle.
Okay,
I will start talking so that you have the opportunity to do so.
I'll wait.
I totally agree with you. I liked the fact that he seems cocky, definitely. He seems like, you know, he's puffing out his chest a little bit. But he knows the value of mercy. And... There was that comedic moment, obviously, mm-hmm. where they, you know, yeah. with the punch in the face. But you know what? I think that was a fair sentence. Mm-hmm. I do.
Liked it. Mm-hmm.
I think that was a fair sentence.
I think Tristan is showing that he can be, you know, a bit manly and just be like, no, I don't need to kill him. I can just give him what he gave me. Yeah. There you go. Hit to the face. So let's move on from Dorne. Let's go to Braavos and Arya. Who is walking by the thin man with her oysters and then spots a little something-something coming on
Lord
the pier.
Tyrell.
Mace Tyrell, Meryn Trent, and Tycho Nestoris, excuse me if I pronounce that wrong, are at the dock. They have arrived.
This episode and just doing terrible things to small children.
Meryn Trent, if you didn't hate him enough already... Huh. For possibly killing Cereal Pharrell in season one, then God, that scene in the brothel was awful. I don't even know what to say to that.
What I will say to it, so I'll just talk about how they filmed it, and I thought how they set up this scene because it was so painful to watch, but they gave you the idea of where it was going. They didn't just have one girl say this is too young. They brought out three, and then they give you a moment with Arya, to the point that you think that it's a possibility that she is going to be.
That's what I thought was going to happen.
Yeah,
there was this part where Meryn Trent saw Arya, mm-hmm. and there was that moment. Did you think he was recognizing her, or do you think he was having the pedophile lust after her?
I think it's a recognition that he can't place.
Okay,
I think it's one of those things where he's a trained soldier. He's supposed to survey. And he sees this girl.
Okay.
And then he looks again. But I think Arya is getting so good at becoming someone else that it's going to be hard for anyone to recognize her at this point.
Well, also, if she wasn't becoming in the process of becoming someone else, it would take a lot for him to recognize her in that place, in that condition. It's been a long time.
You don't even think to look for her.
Of course not.
Everyone thinks she's dead anyway.
Yeah, and she looks very different. You would never, assume that, especially considering she's young, so she's changing physically very quickly, and
she's wearing the first dress I think of the entire show, or second dress ever in the show that she's worn,
almost, except for the blue one from like season one.
Yeah, exactly.
But on top of that, so they do build up to that point that she comes onto his radar. Mm-hmm. Is this foreshadowing about a strategy to get to him in the future? Who knows? But and then we get the young girl who is very young that he agrees to. He not only agrees to her, he takes away all conditions of the brothel and says that he will give them time and he wants a fresh one tomorrow.
Well, it's a good thing.
So it's just foreshadowing. It's establishing a pattern.
Exactly. Yep. It's a good thing he didn't recognize her because everyone in the chat is pretty much coming to a consensus that Arya is going to try to assassinate Meryn Trant by posing as a girl of the brothel.
Okay. Yeah. Agreed.
But that raises an interesting question of if Arya is going to kill someone on her list. And not the man,
the thin man.
The thin man, as she's supposed to. A no-name.
Yep.
Follows orders. Arya is not someone else if she's still going after the men on her list.
Very true. Hasn't given
it
up.
But this is what I will also throw out there, is the fact that when it was proposed that Arya may fail with a thin man... And he said, it is all the same to the faceless god.
Is that
not also an argument for her not killing the thin man, but killing Trant instead?
All the red god asked for is a name, right?
She's supposed to be doing his work to get rid of people who are doing bad. Trent is a bad person. We've already gotten from the Faceless Men that the Faceless God does not care. It's all one and the same.
True. Okay, they did throw that. They did throw out that line, and that seems a little strange because, I mean, the Faceless Men are known to be successful. You can't start ruining their reputation by not killing the people you're supposed to kill and killing other people. But he did say that, so that's
yeah, but he also had that moment in this episode where they have that interaction where she obviously lies
and doesn't get slapped.
Yeah, and he doesn't say anything, but there's the look at the end when he's looking at her. And to me, that was a clear indication of, I know exactly what's going on. So the question is, first of all, obviously, why didn't he call her out on it? And second of all, what is he going to do to her? What does that mean? Is he just waiting for it to play out so he can see what her intentions are? Is he starting, has he made his decision already that she's worthless and not what he expected?
Yeah, do you feel that...
Well, I was just going to say, there's so much in this episode that, like, the latter, like, third is, like, so awesome. I just... This whole thing with Meryn Trant and Arya, I feel like it's set up just perfectly for us to, like, sit back and relax and watch what's about to happen next.
Yeah.
You know, it's like one of those things, like, all right.
Set up.
She's going to try to kill him, right, by posing as a girl in the brothel.
Yeah. And then we're going to find out what the consequences
are. And I will point out a comment I saw by Kristen who put in there also, needle or poison?
Poison.
Ooh.
Poison. I don't think she's going to get needle yet.
Okay.
It'd be hard to sneak needle into a brothel.
Maybe. There you go. Yeah. Oof, who knows?
And also,
she brought in an oyster tray.
Yeah. The thing is, you run the risk. If she brings needle back, she runs the risk of losing needle really quickly. Because if she assassinates him, which we agree, at least I think we think she's going to at least, she's definitely thinking about doing.
Mm-hmm.
If she does it with needle, there's no hiding it anymore, you know what I mean? It's out in the open, and if that's the case, it's going to be confiscated.
It's also, I think, kind of symbolic, which one she chooses. If she's choosing the poison, I think you can argue that killing... If she does kill Trant and she kills him with poison, that's arguing that she could do it for the Faceless God. I think if she goes and she does it with Needle, there's no argument. She's doing it for her list.
Hmm. Interesting. Well, we shall see what becomes of all that. Mm-hmm. Time will tell. But let's move on to Meereen and the opening of the fighting pit. Here we go, folks. Deep breath. Okay. Let's get there. Let's get there. Steps. Baby steps.
I'd just like to point out that I took a quiz today on the internet, which Game of Thrones character I am, and clearly it
Dario.
Was...
No? Was I wrong? Oh.
Daenerys.
Whatever.
Daenerys right here, everybody. I'm sitting next to the Queen of Dragons. But this scene starts off with Dario monologuing about speed versus strength and how he was in the fighting pits. Anything of importance in his...
Well, I think it's so obvious, like, what he's doing. His head is literally stuck in between Daenerys and her bride-to-be. Were they already married?
I don't think they're married yet.
Groomed. I don't know. He dresses in...
Yeah, he wears a dress. He had a nice gown on.
The groomed-to-be.
He's a groom.
Zalorik. He's obviously putting a little bit of a wedge in between them, reminding Azar, hey, I'm a fighter, I'm an advisor, I'm on the council, you're just a pawn in her plan.
And we have that
to be dead pawn.
Then we have that brief moment where Hizdahr comes back and they're like, what were you doing? He goes, oh, nothing. Like, lay that little seed of suspicion in our heads, which is kind of...
Which we don't really care about at this point.
Which we eventually find out. They turn it on us. But there we go. So, and then Jorah shows up in the fighting pits.
Man. She does have a gentle heart, guys. She does have a gentle heart.
You guys thought he was going to die the whole time. I was watching you. You thought Jorah was going down.
I wasn't convinced, but I was terrified. I'm going to be honest. I watched the entire episode like this. Like, the latter half of the episode, I was watching like this, and I don't think I breathed the entire time. I'm surprised I lived through it. But, it was good.
Fantastic. Like, last week, great. Was a little worried about this because I was like, what are they going to do? Because last week, such a high note. Then we saw this one, this scene, crafted from beginning to end. I was totally on board for, like, they were, like...
You were going.
They were putting
they were
in,
going crazy.
They're putting
it was
in
awesome.
A monologue. Then they were putting in all this stuff about Hizdahr, and, like, they made parallels to him and Tywin.
Yeah,
Lannister.
Tywin, yep.
And
yeah.
I was like, so that was bubbling in my head. And then Jorah comes out, and yes, you were completely right. The entire time I thought he was going to die. I was waiting for Gladiator moment of him, like, holding the spear, and finally,
he couldn't have died, though.
I know. I know.
Yeah, he could have.
No, he couldn't have died because they set up his grayscale. They're not just going to set that up and then kill him. Come on.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Whatever. It was a great building of the scene because I completely, like, in this moment, forgot about the grayscale and was just like, he is going to die.
Yeah. I thought he was going to rub it in somebody's eyes or something like that.
And then just dance around until they
dance
drop.
Around.
The Hunger Games.
Oh, the spear!
Oh, yeah!
That,
was
that caught me off guard. I was like, he just threw a spear. Oh, my God! There's a harpy there! That was
insane.
Fantastic.
And then you just see, and then the reveal of all of the harpies. I literally, you guys were there, so you know, but I was like, oh, God! Oh, God, no! Oh, God, it's going to happen!
All of
I was
us
freaked
were just, like,
out.
Screaming in this.
There you go. But it was such a... Do you think it was a good plan on the Harpy's part to all go in there secret and to take her out?
Yes.
Yeah,
it's a great plan.
I agree. I thought that was
it
a great plan.
It would have worked. It was this close.
Except for one thing. What was
working.
That? Drogon shows up to save the day.
Yes. Did she summon him? Heart. Like, all right,
when
honestly...
she closed her eyes?
There had to have been some kind of, like, telekinetic...
Oh,
connection,
I thought she was just waiting for death. That's what I thought because she grabbed the. Oh my God, what's her name? I can't remember her name.
Missandei.
Thank you so much. I just lost
her. He felt her.
He felt her. I didn't think she was summoning him.
I think that is a moment that makes me want to just grab Daenerys and say, let the other dragons out!
Oh, yeah, they're still locked up.
Two out of the three are locked up.
But the thing about dragons is you can only ride one dragon. For every dragon, there's one dragon rider.
I'll take the other.
And she...
And so, yeah, there we go. So if she just lets the other two out, they're just going to go wild because she just linked with Drogon. So she... Those two are now together. Yeah,
it's
exactly.
It's going to be like a Sith rivalry.
But if she lets the other two out, they're just going
to...
So now we have to find other writers.
You can give Tyrion one and...
Please.
Oh, yeah, just give him a dragon. Yeah, here you go, Tyrion. That thing would eat Tyrion in a second, probably. Yeah.
I don't know. Hey, Tyrion would talk it down.
Brought it back again. In this scene, multiple times.
There you go.
Not only giving good advice,
and she
being
was
a
like,
wonderful
smiled.
Set of
she smiled.
Ears, but also coming through and saving Missandei.
Oh, yeah.
That was so good.
I thought Grey Worm was going to show up there, but he's still sick in bed.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That would have been cool.
No, Tyrion never fails, though, doesn't he? Yeah. He just never, he's sitting there and he's not even, he's, you know, throwing up some like, you know, half-baked conversation with the guys. He doesn't even really want to be there. But then, of course, he turns around to save the day.
Yeah.
By, like, killing full-grown men.
He's my hero. I love him. I love his intellect. I love everything that he stands for. What a badass mofo.
It was awesome.
It was awesome.
Now, there was a... You looked at me at one point because I was like, oh, they photoshopped him out. There was a scene... This scene has been in the preview since, like, the very first one from this season.
Yeah.
Them all standing in a circle fighting. Mm-hmm. But they airbrushed or photoshopped Tyrion out of it. So everybody has been theorizing there was like an extra shadow in the picture, and everybody's like, I think that's Tyrion, and they photoshopped him out, and it looks like they actually did.
That's awesome. We have to go back and look
at
that.
What do you guys think about the final pull away of we get Dragon Rider Queen while we get all of her kind of posse just standing there looking, and now
I was like, they're going to kill her posse.
I was really worried.
Why would they not just run in and kill them all then?
I was thinking that too. I'm like, don't just stand there, get away. I think for me that felt like what they were trying to get at was the fact that, you know how Jorah had that whole speech to Tyrion, mm-hmm. when they were on the way to see Dany, mm-hmm. about how he used to be a non-believer until
he saw her walk out of the fire.
With the dragon. Yeah,
yes, yes.
Exactly. I thought that was kind of the establishing, because we haven't seen her be that kind of badass in so long, and it just warmed my heart so much.
Does that remind you of, like, the first one where we get Drogon, like, setting fire?
Dracarys.
But that's what I mean. It was the first time we saw that kind of visceral, what makes her so powerful and magnificent in the way that she is, and the reason that, at least for me, I went, yeah, I want her as that queen, mm-hmm. because she...
And you saw it in Tyrion's eyes in that moment. He's like, oh,
exactly.
My God.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Like,
there
how do you...
It is. She's for real.
Like,
I don't think
the whole world's
about
to change.
It was like, wow, okay.
Well, everything did just change, didn't it? I mean, the whole, like, fighting pits thing totally failed, because she did that so that there could be order in the city, and I mean, this is the most disorder she's found.
And the Harpies used it against her.
Yeah, they used it against her. They were even killing fellow masters. It was just chaos, right? And her husband, or soon-to-be husband, whatever, he's gone. Yeah. And, well, hopefully she forgives Jorah now, but now there's this whole new... I feel like it's going to be a whole new Daenerys, a whole new Marine.
Oh, yeah.
You know, everything's changed.
Mm. Well, now, I mean, think about what just changed, like, specifically, how huge this was. First of all, the fighting pits are going to be closed. Let's just throw that out there. Or at least my prediction, fighting pits are going to be closed after that little incident. One. Two, you have mass terror, chaos, and destruction.
Mm-hmm.
And the queen was able to escape it by riding out on her freaking dragon. That's going to convert. You were talking about Stannis converting a few people?
Exactly.
That's going to convert
make people
a few
believers,
people.
Yeah.
Do you guys think the next step of this for some of the Harpies is that most of them were killed at this place, that we're going to get more of the infrastructure of how it's working? Or if, like, it's kind of been stomped out and now most of them are in jail?
I don't know. Part of me wants to think that they're going to be like, oh, no, she has a dragon and she can ride him. Let's go ahead and abandon this whole thing. But part of me also thinks they pretty much wounded Drogon a few times, and it was obvious
that
they wounded him.
But don't
they
know that you're ignoring that part? He's going to be fine.
Yeah, a dragon is not invincible. A dragon can be hurt, as we saw.
I mean, just with a few spears, he was hurt.
He was hurt?
Yeah, he was absolutely hurt. I think he's going to be okay. I really do.
It'll be okay, but it did. I feel like it showed people, hey, look, this dragon got wounded by a couple of spears, you know?
But do they know that there are
more? What can an army do to it?
Do they know that there are more? Are there aware that there are more dragons?
People do know that there are.
That's what I thought.
Harpies know that if you're fighting down in the streets and all that, you can't just have a dragon fly over the city and burn the streets. That's going to kill innocents as well. Yeah, that's a good leadership right there. That's not going to happen.
If it doesn't stomp out the Harpy, it'll definitely set them back a few hundred feet.
Yeah, I think it was. I think it wounded them very much so, but I think they're still there.
Okay,
I think they're still there.
Oh, fine.
Yeah.
Fine.
This is such an epic episode.
Oh,
my
amazing.
Gosh. Do we anything else to talk about with that? That's unbelievable.
I just want to know who's going to get the other dragons.
I don't know. And now, you have these dragons locked up in the pit. Mm-hmm. What if the Harpies go down there?
I kind of feel like dragons are almost, like, destined for someone. Like, because there
are
is
they?
That, like, bond.
Yeah, I think
but
so.
But I feel like, I don't know, I feel like she is the mother of dragons, plural, and... You saw the connection with one of them where he was rebelling before. Oh. So I think that it's very possible that all of them are under her command, ultimately.
I think that term is more that she birthed them in the fire. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah,
that
I know.
That was her, and so she's the mother of dragons, but it's just but not the tamer of all the dragons.
Yeah, I think that we're going to see eventually these dragons have allegiances to other people.
I would
agree
with that.
Whether it's through, like, the people are... Daenerys' choice, like who she brings to them or who finds them.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like the people have too much of a choice. It seems kind of like the dragons sort of choose.
Yeah. Because
you saw that moment where she pulled the spear out of him and he turned on her and then he was like, no, you're the one.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. I'm just not 100% convinced that that wasn't because of the fact that she is the blood of the dragon.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, it's possible that I'm sure that they can get along with other people just fine. Other than the Targaryens. But there, I don't know. Maybe I could definitely be wrong, but there's something about the fact that she is supposed to be the blood of the dragon that would lead me to believe that she would be the one making connections with them.
There you go. What's up, Ryan?
I have an interesting question brought up in the chat. Do you guys think that Melisandre is aware of Daenerys and her fire-breathing dragons?
Yes.
Is Melisandre?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You know...
Okay, I'm just trying to think if we have proof of that.
Yeah, I'm going back through the Rolodex, too.
Doesn't Stannis know?
I think everybody's pretty much gotten word.
Yeah, Stannis knows.
It's whether or not they believe this stuff. There's a lot of people who don't. Like, Cersei, I think, is just like, yeah, whatever. Mm-hmm. Whereas Sam and Aemon were talking about it, weren't they?
Yeah.
And they obviously believed. I mean, Maester Aemon, of course, did.
I think she does.
I would assume.
I think she does. I don't think she necessarily is... too concerned with it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah. Ryan, you going to have any rapid-fire questions for us as we're wrapping up here?
Yeah,
we need to go to predictions, too.
There you go.
You guys start off with some predictions. I'll get some questions going, and we'll wrap up like that.
All right, let's cue up those predictions.
Yeah.
And now,
so Halloween every time. I love it. Right? What are you thinking? What's going to happen?
Oh, goodness.
Let me put you on the spot right there.
All right. A few things. I think that when it comes to Stannis, I think that there is doubt in the minds of his men, and if not necessarily in the minds of his men, definitely in Davos. So I think that there is going to be either a very large conversation that ends in a walking out on or mm-hmm. death or something between the two of them. It's not going to be a pretty conversation when he finds out. Let's put it that way. But before he finds out, I guess he's going to have to go back to the wall and discover that there are wildlings everywhere. And there's probably going to be a big discussion between him and Jon Snow about the fact that, no, we can't send everything that you think you need because... Yeah. We don't have it. We just
John already told him they don't have enough food for his men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So we'll see how that pans out. Any other things to throw in there?
Definitely going to send it to Arya. I think that we're going to see her come up with a plan to kill Trant, and I think it's going to result in her becoming more of Arya than a faceless man.
Okay. As Winterfell
doesn't agree with me, by the way.
Oh no, I'm going with it.
Interesting.
Can we talk about Winterfell really quickly? Because we had Sansa at the end of the next week.
Yes.
Going, if I want, paraphrasing. If I want, if I'm going to die, I want to die while there's still part of me left.
Go ahead.
Yeah,
go.
You were
and Brienne.
Oh yeah.
Did we see Brienne in the news?
Oh, we did. Yeah.
I missed it. I blinked.
It was very, very quick.
I thought I saw where your thought was going, and I was like,
No, please.
I'm with you.
Finish it then.
And I was like, I thought that she's going to be putting something in jeopardy, because Brienne, there was something also in that clip about betrayal.
Yep.
So I think we are going to see finally these parties collide.
Oh, yep. You did that at the same time.
I was like, I think I see where you're going.
That's exactly where I was going on that. I'm really excited to see
that. Is she
going to
go out in a blaze of glory? Is it what?
I don't think she's done yet. I don't think Sansa's done yet.
No, I don't think so.
Not at all. I think that Winterfell, I really am interested to see Ramsay have the conversation about Stannis. Like, just to confirm that it was indeed him.
I think it is. But, there we go.
This is episode 9.
I know!
It's not fair! It's almost over!
One more.
My quick prediction is that this season finale is not going to have any kind of resolution for us. I mean, everything's in chaos. Marine's in chaos. The North is all messed up. King's Landing's a mess. Everything's just a mess, and I don't think it's going to get cleaned up in the last episode, but...
Probably not.
I'm glad this one was as epic as it was. I hope the next episode can follow suit.
Nice.
So!
Rapid fire, hit us with it.
Rapid fire, here we go!
Then we'll sign off.
All right. Kyle Maddox.
Didn't do it.
All right.
Okay.
Most everybody wants to know right now, who are the Harpy? Who is the Harpy? Who's leading the Harpy? What's going on with the Harpy?
Who is leading the Harpy?
Who's the Harpy? Who are the Sons of the Harpy?
I'd like to think that we don't know. There isn't like a figurehead, and it's just an evil set of dudes, and that we haven't met the particular one. I really think
there is a particular one?
That's leading it all? Probably.
Probably a figurehead. There's probably like a group of three or four.
Like a committee.
Or something.
Yeah, okay. I don't know why. Do you think we've met him? Met the leader?
It would have been funny if it was Hisdar.
Yeah, I thought it was. I thought it was going to be Hisdar. But
I thought that.
Apparently not. So what do you got next?
All right. Autumn.
Yes.
What is going to happen to Cersei and Margaery? The two queens in chains.
The
queens in chains. What's going to happen?
Oh, goodness. Ultimately, I'm not 100% sure, but in the immediate future, we saw Cersei talking. Do you guys remember exactly what it was that she said? Because I remember her crying, but what exactly it is that she said in the next week escapes me at the moment. This is what I will definitely say. Jaime is going to be coming back with their daughter and a new leader of the member of the council, and she has no say in it whatsoever. I don't think she's going entirely down. I don't think that they're going to kill her. You think they're going to kill her, really?
All right.
Okay. I don't think they're going to kill her, but I think they're definitely she's going to be at the bottom of the barrel by the end of it.
The rapids We're slow today. That's okay.
That's fair.
Because they're great questions. All right, Sarah, real quick, a lot of people want to know, where is Varys and is he going to appear in the season finale?
He's with Gendry. He's with Bran. He's with Rickon.
On the boat of lost plot lines.
Okay.
I hope this
is he showing up in the next week or what?
No.
No.
All right, awesome. You got one for yourself, Ryan?
I'll feel the last one. People are asking about Grayscale. A lot of people are asking about John's parents' situation, but we'll save that for talk. I feel like the next episode, the last episode, will be more appropriate for John's mystery parents. Boom. If you guys don't know what it is, it's the R plus
L
equals J. Google it, R plus L equals J. I mean, it's interesting, but I'll field the Grayscale question. I say, no, Jorah's not going to be healed of Grayscale. He's going to die a slow, terrible death.
There we go. Awesome. And there we have it, everybody. Thank you so much for watching this AfterBuzz TV Game of Thrones after show. If you guys are listening to us on iTunes, make sure to leave a comment, rate, do all that jazz. If you're on YouTube, make sure to hit the like button, subscribe, leave a comment. We love hearing from you. So until next week, the finale of this season.
No, don't say it.
Sorry, guys. My name is Kyle Maddock. You can find me at Mad Canard anywhere online.
And I am Autumn Chickless. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and most recently, as of today, Periscope. I finally did it at my name, at Autumn Chickless.
Live.
You can't find me at Twitter, but you can find me here at AfterBuzz TV, also at Box Office Breakdown, also at Popcorn Talk. But I will send it out to you guys to comment, because I didn't get ask these guys this question. Who would you least like to see die in next week's finale?
Daenerys or Tyrion. Daenerys or Tyrion. Either of them, I will be...
Kill Littlefinger, whatever you do. Guys, I'm Ryan Malady. You can keep up with me at Ryan Malady on Twitter, Instagram, and everything else. Vela Magulis.
Vela Doheris.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz.
See you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.